Last day of work for Courtney before vacation. You're off to Ireland?
I am.
Okay.
Late night flight.
Oh, that's a long one. But usually you leave. Are you flying Aer Lingus?
No, I'm on Delta, so we're actually flying to JFK and then JFK to Shannon.
Boy. I wonder which particular airline incident of the day you will experience.
Hopefully zero.
On your flight.
Hopefully zero.
Maybe somebody who is yanking other people's hair when they are reclining their seat in their direction, or who knows.
I'm hoping to be zonked out for the entire thing.
Okay. Well, Mego in here tomorrow and on Friday. Also on tomorrow's show, it is Red Sox front office report day. So Craig Breslow on this show, with the trade deadline getting closer and closer and the Red Sox on a bit of a run. By the way, we were talking about it at the start of the show. Have they reeled you back in? And Twitch Mitch, the man in black, put a poll up. And it's still 60-40. 60% of the people have not been dragged back in by the Boston Red Sox. But 40% have been dragged back in by the Boston Red Sox. So, all right, let us get to the rest of this morning's news.
I wish Curtis was here for this next story because the Mass State Senate is getting closer to banning cell phone use in schools.
Ooh.
The Joint Education Committee redrafted legislation combining seven different Senate bills. Here's Massachusetts Attorney General Andrea Campbell on this, what she had to say.
A bell-to-bell phone-free school policy keeps students focused throughout the full school day. This includes instructional time, as well as passing periods, lunch, and other non-instructional time. It is a commitment to both young people's education and their mental health.
I like it.
Yeah. You do, right?
Yeah, I've always been on board to just drop the cell phones off in your homeroom. Every kid, whether you are in high school or elementary school or middle school, has a homeroom period at the beginning of the morning. You drop your cell phone there, you put it in a secure bag, and you pick it up at the end of school in that same homeroom period.
Yeah, I mean, the only question I have is how are the teachers going to sext with the students?
It's going to be hard.
Going forward.
Yeah.
I'll have to wait until after school hours.
They'll probably
have
to give them notes. Go back to the note days.
I think most teachers that we hear from are in favor of this. Like, overwhelmingly, they want it. Because it's just a distraction when you're trying to teach.
What a great point by Wiggy, though. They are going to go back to passing notes class.
I don't think they.
No,
hope they aren't. You mean
kids are. Like, yeah, the teacher thing was a joke, but students are going to have to go back to the art of writing a note.
Uh-huh.
I love
much
doing
that.
Much
harder to do that.
Much harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to Florida for the next story.
And now.
It's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of.
Come to Miami.
Florida. Not like the rest of us.
The people of Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns.
On WEEI.
Oh, they don't close Florida.
Jonathan Winslow, a man in Key West, celebrated his 57th birthday on the 4th of July, and he did it in style. He smoked some meth. Oh. He stole the Conk tour train trolley and then picked up some tourists downtown to bring them around.
No.
The cops were able to track him down with the GPS that was on the trolley train that he had stolen, but he stole it right out of the yard that they were keeping all the different trolleys in.
Have you ever been to Key West?
I've never been to Key West.
Very popular way to get around is the Conk trolley. And so those that were on it didn't realize that their driver had stolen it or was on meth.
Correct.
Now, I'm looking at his mugshot. How would you not realize that individual is on meth?
Well, he looked like a wacky dude that was just trying to give you a good time. Luckily, nobody was injured. Here's the police body cam footage.
Wait, don't take those. You can't confiscate them. I plead the fifth.
Well, just like you can't take a tour train, so.
I plead the fifth. Oh, this is my birthday present. Oh, I'm not going to be dancing with the Cajun mistress.
Yeah. He told the police officers that he used to work for the trolley company, and so he thought that was just okay because it was his birthday.
All right, well, happy birthday.
He's like, what's your name? I plead the fifth.
Yep.
What's he going to do for his 60th? How do you top that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
We've got another golf course brawl that has gone viral.
Oh, I saw this yesterday.
Yeah.
This the one from Canada?
Yep. We go to Canada for it. It happened Friday at Alberta Springs.
It's such a great video.
Yeah. So a group was pissed at the pace the group in front of them was playing. They were playing too slow. And when the behind group started to make comments, a man in the slow group in a Hawaiian shirt started charging. Well, former NHL player Nick Tarnansky beat the absolute crap out of the guy in the Hawaiian shirt.
Pounded him into oblivion.
Yeah,
the best part was he grabs the guy and he throws the first punch, and then every punch after he just goes bang, bang, bang.
He also throws him into the pond, and the man comes out of the pond and starts charging again. So, I mean, he put up a good fight.
Yeah, well, the guy had beer muscles going.
Yeah.
He was, like, completely obliterated.
Yeah.
That guy was toast. What a loser.
Yeah.
I don't know if he put up a good fight. He was he was a good punching bag.
Right.
Yeah. He
To come out of the pond, I mean, if you get thrown into a pond, I feel like you should call it a day.
No, once he charged them in the beginning of it, it was, and then the hockey player, he didn't throw any initial punches. He threw them and said, all right, you need to stop. And then when he gets out and he charges him again, then he's like, all right.
I have zero problem with the guy, the former NHL guy defending himself.
Yes.
Gave him five chances.
Yeah.
They just kept asking him to leave the course. They're like, can you guys just like leave? Like, he is way too drunk to be on this golf course. Please just take him and leave. And then he's like yelling. The guy in the Hawaiian shirt stands there and does like a primal scream before he like charges the guy.
Right.
What an idiot.
And then when he's hitting him the second go round, he's going bang, bang. Yeah. Every time he hits him, he's yelling bang.
And the hockey player looks like he's a big guy.
Yeah.
He's a big dude.
The Hawaiian guy, not only you're drunk, but you're small, and it's like he's like a rag doll.
Yeah, rag doll.
Guy in the Hawaiian shirt, when they threw him in the water,
mm-hmm.
found five of your balls in there, Shime.
All right, Greg.
What else is in the news?
Travel and Leisure has a new top city for travel in the U.S.
Oh.
We could do the top five if you'd
like.
So coming in at number five, Alexandria, Virginia. Never been.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Number four, Savannah, Georgia. Very fun place to go.
Okay.
Number three, Charleston, South Carolina.
Great city.
Number two, New Orleans.
Okay.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
Number one, any guesses?
Is it big or small?
Small.
Jesus.
It's not in New England, I'm guessing,
no,
the way you said that?
Austin, Texas.
Nope, but you're going in the right region.
Yeah.
Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Huh. Why would anyone want to go to Santa Fe, New Mexico?
Well, didn't the Pats play there like a few different times recently?
In
New Mexico? Yeah.
No,
what?
You might be thinking about Mexico City.
What are you talking about?
Really?
Yeah, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Mexico City.
Mexico City.
And you doubled down on it and said several times.
And I don't even think the Patriots have even played in Mexico City. It's other teams.
No, they definitely played. They definitely played.
I think they played there a couple of years ago.
They did.
They played one game there, and New Mexico is the United States of America.
Yeah. Right,
you Boston College graduate.
I'm sorry, I just screwed that up.
That's all right. Okay. You're already on vacation.
Yeah, I am.
That's probably.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
You might have been right.
Mexico City as well.
Courtney's in total airplane mode.
You might have been right, because I think Mexico.
BC played in a bowl game.
In New Mexico?
Was it New Mexico?
Fiesta Bowl?
Maybe. It's probably New
Isn't that in Arizona?
No. Then it wasn't the Fiesta Bowl.
No, the Fiesta Bowl is Arizona.
Football.
It was UConn played there. They played in the New Mexico Bowl.
Well, then was it Mexico?
Courtney's thinking of the Alamo.
Yeah. No.
Santa Fe Sun Chips Bowl? Is that what it is?
It could be that.
Alamo,
that's Texas.
No, it was definitely in like some type of Mexico.
Uh-huh. Well, there's only two.
Well, no, I know. When I was there.
There's New Mexico and Mexico.
Okay, well.
Mm-hmm. I think it was the year that they got canceled.
You made tomorrow's intro.
Yeah.
That you did. Somebody said in the chat, New Mexico Bowl.
I don't know. I'll do some research on
it. Sorry.
Yeah, at a later
Get
date.
Back to us on it.
Linda Rouster, a Wisconsin resident, is fighting to keep her pet wallaby.
Her what?
Pet wallaby. Very
pet
cute
wallaby.
Animal. Very cute.
A wallaby.
That's an animal that one would find in Australia, correct?
Yeah.
And she has it as a pet.
Yes, and she says that it's very social. Like, it's...
It doesn't look very social. It looks like it's trying to rip somebody's jugular.
No, it doesn't.
But you can't just have random exotic animals as pets.
Well, unfortunately for her, she's had the wallaby for a year, and it got loose in her neighborhood last week. It was captured and returned by police. Mm. Then Linda said she got a notice from police ordering her to surrender the wallaby by Tuesday and find it a new home. Well, Tuesday has come and gone. Linda says she will not be handing over her animal.
No.
She's kept her wallaby that she named August as a pet since buying him at a flea market a year ago.
Oh, wow.
And she started a petition as the wallaby is held in a undisclosed safe house. The petition reads, "Wallabies are currently classified under the same category as many other exotic animals that are forbidden within city limits. These laws were created to ensure community safety, yet they do not always consider individual circumstances and the potential benefits of exceptions, especially when it comes to emotional support animals."
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everybody declares their animal now to be an emotional support animal.
How do you just find this at a flea market is my
question. That's a great question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's so
you
cute,
can
though.
You can find a lot of things at a flea market.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware.
Imagine that. Yes. A backbone or something.
Yeah.
I do like a good pair of wallabies, but it's like a baby kangaroo.
Yeah, I need a wallaby, and I need a gun with the serial number filed off. Flea market.
Yes.
That's where you go for that.
You know what else you can find at a flea market, Greg? Pokemon cards.
All right. What? Anything else?
Well, some questions about the death of actor Gary Coleman.
Oh, really?
After his ex-wife Shannon.
What you talking about, Courtney?
Yeah. What you talking about, Willis?
He died mysteriously, fell down the stairs.
Bad fall. Yep.
Bad fall.
At his house, his ex-wife.
Yeah.
Was home at the time,
right?
And he had filed a restraining order against her. Just 3 months. It was granted just 3 months before this bad fall happened.
Yes.
Well, she failed a lie detector test about the role she played in his death in 2010. She appeared on A&E's Lie Detector Truth or Deception series, and she was asked two specific questions.
Uh-huh.
Did you physically cause Gary's fatal fall? To which she answered no. And then, did you physically call Gary to fall that day? And she, again, replied no.
Huh. We have the audio of this, correct? Chime, you have the audio. In news, I believe.
Got somewhere. It. Yep. Hold on.
We can listen to that.
The exam had to do with Gary's fatal fall.
Okay.
I asked you the following relevant questions on this test. Did you physically cause Gary's fall?
Mm-hmm.
You answered no.
Right.
I also asked you, did you physically cause Gary to fall that day? And you answered no. And the results are, you failed that exam with deception regarding Gary's fall.
Why would she?
That's fault.
Yeah.
This is a reality show. I take it. I've never watched it.
Yep.
Why would she go on it?
That makes no sense.
That's diabolical.
Yes.
Knowing full well that she had something to do with it.
Well, she claims that the test is wrong.
Okay.
It's they say lie detector tests are 89% accurate.
All right. Mm. So can the cops do anything, or is this like just?
I don't know if there's a statute of limitations or not.
Yeah.
Courtney once went to New Mexico and she saw the Statue of Limitations, which is a really nice statue there.
Yeah, that's a stupid show to go on.
Right.
You must be really desperate for money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that it on the news?
That's it.
Okay, this is Kevin from Quincy. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I just wanted to remind Courtney that she's going to Ireland tonight, which is near England, which is not the same as New England, where you're currently doing the broadcast from, Courtney. So,
you understand.
Have a good day, sweetheart.
You understand the difference,
yeah?
Right? Okay. How do you feel about guys who say sweetheart at the end? Is that offensive to you?
No. My dad is like a sweetheart person, so I think it's how you were raised.
Okay.
I would rather somebody say sweetheart than when they hang up the phone, they say, all right, bye, fellas, or hi, fellas.
Now what you need to do is you need to go to Santa Fe, New Mexico.
I would love to. I swear to God, BC played in a bowl game there.
You should bring your emotional support alligator. Guys.
I don't talk like that.
This
it's crazy.
This is my emotional support. Ask me anything about my emotional support alligator. Raw.
You should do it. Ask me anything. I bet you get a lot of hits.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even know how to do it. How do I do it? Just go into my Instagram and go ask me anything?
No, you put in a little question box on your Instagram story and say ask me anything.
Okay. Well, you can follow me on Instagram, Greg Hill, WEEI. stay up to date with what we're doing here on the show and with the Greg Hill Foundation and other things. Okay, let's see. This is Dan from Boston. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. How are you?
Great.
Courtney,
what's up?
Nothing, kid. I got nothing for you, kid. I got a Cotton Bowl, got Legion Field. Arizona is the only thing that'd be relatively close.
Yeah, I could have. Well, game. There's a New Mexico Bowl. I know that. I just, my junior year, maybe they were rumored to be going to the New Mexico Bowl. I just remember it being like there was issues about safety. And I swear it was New Mexico. Huh. But
why would New Mexico be unsafe?
Mexico City has issues about safety.
Did you get it confused with that time you ordered an acai bowl?
No. Oh. I went to Mexico for my spring break, Cabo.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was great.
Are you sure you didn't just go to La Carreta?
Nope. I love La Carreta, but no, I went to Mexico, Cabo. Kids got kicked off that trip.
Really?
What were Night they doing? One. What? We all decided to go the old skinny dipping. Big rule in Mexico is you can't swim when there's no lifeguards because people have been drinking, whatever. And they came, the security came out, and it was a big thing.
Did you escape?
My college roommate Devin and I got out, threw one on our dresses.
I was going to say, did you run away without your clothes?
No.
That's what happens.
Threw on dresses. This police officer was talking to us and said, nope, you guys can't go. And we said, sir, what did we do? He goes, were you swimming? We said earlier, we're like soaking wet. And a fight broke out between some BC kids and some College of Charleston or Michigan kids. There was three colleges on property. And they kind of looked at these two girls and then looked at the fight. They went to the fight and we ran.
Was it co-ed skinny dipping?
Yeah.
Oh, scandalous.
Wow.
It was,
were at a Catholic university.
Yeah.
I thought you said you weren't grown up in a swingers community.
Did John Cox know he was paying for that? I don't think he thought spring break was going to be scandalous skinny dipping.
My dad was born at night, not last night.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. So he understands.
What he don't know won't hurt him.
Yeah.
Well, he knows now.
It was a big group. I think he knew back then, too, because it was a big thing that these kids got kicked off.
Yeah.
And I felt bad. I had massive anxiety the next day that I didn't get kicked off, but some of my friends did.
That's because you're an empath.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let us get to Courtney into what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Red Sox take another against the Rockies. 10-2 was the final at Fenway last night. Trevor Story had a 3-run homer to help in the win, while Jarren Duran had the longest homer at Fenway so far this season, a 456-footer. It was an anti-jinx from Wiggs yesterday as Brian Bayo pitched a complete game, giving up only 2 runs on 5 hits while striking out 10. Here's Alex Cora talking about Bayo from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
Really good, especially early on, right? I think strike throwing. The first third of the game, he was on point. Got some swing and misses, was on top of hitters. Got ahead, stay ahead, bury them. He was really good.
The Sox will try to sweep the Rockies tonight, 7-10 first pitch with Lucas Giolito getting the start. Will Fleming and Brooksy on the call right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Join Christian Arcan at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. And it's going to be a Subaru summer, SubaruofNewEngland.com. Subaru summer is finally here. Hit the road in a trusted 2025 Subaru Outback. Buy with 2.9% financing for up to 48 months or lease for just $279 per month. Details at SubaruofNewEngland.com.
Courtney, thank you. This is Bones from Marlboro. What's up, Bones?
Hey, good morning, gang. I just wanted to say I hope Courtney has a great trip. I met her down at the Trading Post Lounge a few weeks ago. She is lovely, but I'm worried sick because she can barely pronounce words here in English. She's going to struggle over there. And speaking of which, I believe I've been in and out of the truck, but I believe I heard my man Jerome use the term vitriol today.
Yes.
Yeah, earlier.
Yeah. We're getting a vocabulary lesson from Wiggy this morning. He used vitriol in the right way.
Some words I know.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he got one of those word of the day calendars or something like that. But well done, Wiggy. Well done.
Some words I do know.
Guy is stepping up his game.
I was paying attention a little bit in high school and college. Not all the time, but some words I do know well.
In back-to-back sentences, you used vitriol and then dissipate appropriately.
Okay, yeah.
Well done,
you know, that's kind of how we talk.
Yeah.
When I'm with my buddies. Man, the vitriol in that one, kid.
All right. Kid, we are about an hour away from playing the best Hill Notes back. So leave one of those now on any topic on the Odyssey app. If you haven't downloaded the app, you should. You can listen to us on it from anywhere at any time of the day or night. A-U-D-A-C-Y, Odyssey app. Or you can stream this show at WEEI.com. Will and Will with the call on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox radio network and on the Odyssey app last night. By the way, I like what the Nesson guys are doing when it comes to being out on the Monster. That's pretty cool.
That is really cool. I saw.
I would do that all the time if I were them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how the Red Sox feel about it because you're eating up
some seats,
seats that you could sell. But
the view is spectacular.
It's awesome.
You know,
it's
and
really
you're
cool.
You're right there in position where, like last night, the kid with the one-handed home run catch from Trevor Story. You have an opportunity. Maybe they hit a home run right in that area.
617 text on the Subaru of New England text line. Waiting for Curtis's apology on Trevor Story. You'll get that when he comes back. Curtis is full on abusing the flex time policy and gone for a couple weeks.
Well, everybody is around here. Let's be honest. Let's keep it like they like the kids say. I mean, let's keep it a bean.
When you say keeping it a bean or keeping it a Trump, I have to remind you that you missed a roadshow.
Yeah,
that was scheduled
one day with
last minute notice.
Yeah, and you're free to take more.
Weeks. I'm about to take some weeks.
You're such a hardo. It's like
I'm about
it's
to
shocking.
Take some weeks.
It's shocking how much you care about what other people do with their time.
No, I care about the success of the job and our work and what we do.
We all need to recharge. And I was right. BC played in New Mexico against New Mexico State on November 9th, 2013, my junior year.
Oh, okay. So that's what you had in your mind.
Correct.
There you go. As a New Mexico memory of the New England Patriots playing there four times, I believe.
There you go.
And they won, which is great.
They did. Yeah. It's big. Here's Ron from Lynn. Hello, Ron.
Yes, Greg. How are you doing, my friend?
What's up?
First off, sorry about the great LB. Great man.
The best. One of a kind. One of a kind.
Yes, I'll always remember our spirited conversations. I've raised his blood pressure a little bit, I think. but I know you're the man. You made good on our bet, or did you?
Did what?
Did you make good on our bet? Did you give them $100 to Savers?
Oh, was this $100? What was this $100 bet from 15 years ago on the Bruins? Is that what you're talking about, Ron?
Hey, I'm like an elephant. I never forget, especially when it's about money.
No, I haven't made. I have no idea. I don't remember the bet. You'll have to send me. Can you send this over to me? Like fax over the details on this. I need audio. I need audio proof of that. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know.
Yeah. Suddenly forget. Yeah. Hey, but Greg.
Yeah.
I want to ask you one thing.
Yeah.
How come the Red Sox will retire that horseback riding when the Yankees win a World Series? They retire Wade Boggs' number, but they don't retire Dewey's number. Why is this?
Boggs talk.
That's a good question.
So the Red Sox, so Boggs' is numbers retired, but Dwight Evans isn't? Is that what he's asking?
Is Wade Boggs' number retired here? I think it was retired by the Yankees, I believe.
Did they?
Yeah. I don't think Wade Boggs' number is retired. I used to know them all by heart. Joe Cronin is up there. Jim Ed Rice is up there. Chaim, you're going to have to use the Google machine, as LB used to call
it. I think that's what Wiggy's doing right this very second.
Yeah, but I'm doing the Yankees. There's I'm looking for Wade Boggs because I don't see Wade Boggs retired for the Yankees.
So the Red Sox retired numbers are Bobby Doerr, Joe Cronin, Johnny Pesky, Carl Yastrzemski, Ted Williams, Jim Rice, Wade Boggs, Carlton Fisk, David Ortiz, Jackie Robinson, Pedro.
So there you go. So Wade Boggs retired by the Red Sox, and he's a caller saying, why isn't Dwight Evans?
Yeah.
Dewey. I mean, I guess we got to go to the baseball Google machine.
Well, I mean, you can make that case, though, for a lot of guys. You make the case for Louis Tiant, who passed away this year. So
wow.
I would like to make the case no numbers should be retired. Unless they are historic, all-time historical figures like Jackie Robinson.
Wow. Dwight Evans, 19 years with the Sox. You would think his number would be retired.
Wait a second. Go back on that. What?
Yeah.
No, you don't like number retirement?
No, I think it's silly. Like, if you're the Boston Celtics, you're running out of numbers. Then people have to wear weird numbers on the actual current teams, and those numbers look dumb.
Okay, well, adding to the list, Shime doesn't like babies. Retiring numbers.
I don't like kids that aren't controlled by their parents.
Right. So when you say in retired numbers, it has to be somebody that was just a dominant.
Either that, like you have to be either Tom Brady levels of good, or you have to be a massive historical figure like Jackie Robinson.
Okay. So didn't they just retire the Celtics' Ray Allen's number? Oh, no, Kevin Garnett's number.
Silly. Right? Yes. He played here for what, like 5 years?
Was it Garnett or Ray Allen?
Either way, it's dumb.
Yeah, I think it was Garnett. So, like, you're saying, like, a Garnett retired number. But
Kevin Garnett brought you a banner. And
good
you
for
had,
you. You, Greg, had 17 other banners.
You hadn't had one, though. You hadn't had one in a considerable amount of time.
There's teams that have never had one.
Okay.
Like, look at me, Greg. I'm a small hall guy, and when it comes to retired numbers, I think they're silly. Put them in your like circle of fame or whatever. That's fine. Do your, you know, you have your own team hall of fames. That's cool. I think retiring numbers is silly.
So you want to rip number 4 down from the rafters of the Boston Garden?
No, I'm just saying. I just think it's silly. I think retiring numbers is silly.
Okay. I mean, Shime, I won't dispute you. Like, I guess I remember the conversation before. KG did help you win a championship, but he was only on the Celtics for like 5 years.
Game Dog says that there are green team friends of his who want Al Horford's number retired. That to me would be ridiculous.
Asinine.
That would be ridiculous.
Al's a great guy.
But Al helped you win a championship.
Yeah, and go ahead, put him in the team hall of fame. Why are we retiring his number?
Okay, Shime. All right. I mean, it's interesting.
A lot of people on, at least texters, agree with you, Shime.
I kind of...
Like when it comes to KG, Paul Pierce, only one championship?
Mm-hmm.
No.
But I feel like Paul played the majority of his career with the Celtics and was one of the Celtics, you know, all-time greats. You know, top 10, top 12. And maybe I feel like if you're that, then your number should be able to be retired.
I mean, when it comes to what this started with Dwight Evans, Dewey Evans, he's not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. So are you, Wade Boggs is, you know, does that play into who you should number-wise retire?
Well,
that's another good... I don't know, because you could be a really good player and maybe not be viewed as a Hall of Famer, but you could be a really good player for that franchise and help them win a championship.
Like Julian Edelman. He's not going to get to the NFL Hall of Fame, but he was a tremendous New England Patriot. Everybody loved him. He should be in the team Hall of Fame at Patriot Place, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, would you be okay with us trying to get the Bruins to raise number 34 to the rafters?
Yeah,
in honor of LB?
I'll do anything for LB.
Okay.
That would be cool.
That'd be great.
You think they'll honor him this season?
Doesn't quite have the numbers, but had a giant effect. See, I think it's, if there's somebody who had a giant effect on your region, then you can honor them by raising their number. It's not just about, like... To me, it's not just about stats. It's not about
championships for me either.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people, I hear Wiggy says it a lot, and I think you speak for a lot of people that say, oh, that person can't make the Hall of Fame because they don't have enough championships or they don't have a championship. If you make an impact on a place, I think that's...
Yeah, you don't need to win a championship to make the Hall of Fame.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page.
Because, like Charles Barkley, Dan Marino, like, there have been plenty of great players. Allen Iverson... I guess the retired number thing is a really good conversation because KG only played for the Celtics for 6 years. Yes, he did help them win a championship. But he played for Minnesota for 14 years.
You won a championship here.
Right. Retire my number.
Right.
Or give me a red jacket.
I want 85 up there hanging at Gillette. And I want a statue.
Statue. That sounds great. Like, but I just think it's dumb that a guy like Abdul Carter has to ask Lawrence Taylor to wear the number 56.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's silly.
Well, that's a different conversation, but...
I just think 50, like, the number shouldn't be retired.
Well, no. Like, there are certain people, like, come on. You just said there are certain people should have their numbers retired, right?
Yeah.
Right. There's no way...
Zero respect for Lawrence Taylor.
Like, there's not...
Before you have him, is he in your top 100?
Pass rushers of all time? Yeah, absolutely. He's probably in the top... He's easily in the top five. Like, it's not even a question.
He was... So then why would you...
His number should be retired. Yeah.
How many Super Bowls did he win? Two?
But,
see, again, okay. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, though. But it see, doesn't matter.
The whole thing comes into play. Like, for me, like, it's not
so
just...
So you wouldn't retire Lawrence Taylor's number?
No. I don't think another you should. I think retiring numbers are silly.
Another ridiculous. Listen,
you have to be Tom Brady levels of good to get
he was
go back to valuing the Pokemon cards. Listen, in those boxes, will you please?
Trust me, I'm itching to do that.
When it comes to defensive players, he was Tom Brady's level of good. He was probably even better than Tom Brady level of good because he redefined a position and how that was position was played. Man,
you're nuts. You're nuts.
You are. That is like.
I have my takes and I stand by them. Ten toes down, baby.
We appreciate that. We are going to get to Hill Notes at 9:20 or so this morning. So still plenty of time to leave one on any topic on the Odyssey app. Curtis is off until September or November or December. Courtney about to be on vacation after today's show. Wiggy, Shime, and I will be here. It appears that very good friend of old show, who some of you got to hang out with at Bernie's in Hampton Beach during the road show, Max Lane, has called the program this morning. Max, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Greg?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, good. Can't complain.
What's up?
Having a very tough week. Well, not just a lot of memories, you know. A lot of memories just flooding back in. You know, you see like all the online posts about LB and so just a lot of those thoughts going through my mind past couple days.
Well, it's you know, and Max, you've been here. You're a guy who came here, played for the Patriots, and stayed here. And that's LB came from Canada and stayed here and made this his home. And I know you guys got really close. And it's amazing the effect that LB had on everybody that he met.
Yeah, and just as I always. He's probably the first Canadian I ever knew. And, you know, kind of having that be the first Canadian that you ever knew gave me, that was my first impression of being Canadian.
Yeah.
And, and you know, it's a little off, but a lot of fun. You know what I mean? And, I know guys have been telling stories, so I guess I want to get to mine. You remember this. I used to call into the show way back. I used to call into the show, like, this was probably back in the late 90s, 2000. Actually, I took LB's place one time when
yes.
he had some of his, when he had his vacation.
Yes.
But, I called in the show one time, and you guys were promoting a boxing match in Worcester in the Palladium, and it was for the Worcester Boys and Girls Clubs, and you said you wanted me to fight LB.
Correct, yes.
And LB's, I'm like, hey, kid, you know, this is going to be great. It's for the kids. And I'm like, assuming that this is going to be fake. And so I'm like, okay, yeah, that sounds fun, you know, like So I go out, the, you know, the night of the fight comes, and, you know, I've never had any formal training, and here I am fighting LB, you know, and but I thought it was for the kids, so it was going to be fake. Well, I had a big old Italian meal, you know, before the dinner, before the fight in Charlestown, and I got on the mass bike. I was in my coat and tie with a duffel bag, show up at the Palladium, and, you know, music is blaring. I'm walking down towards the ring. They're taking me up to where the dressing room is, and I start seeing people in the ring, like, bleeding, sweating, cut men in the corner, and I'm like, the light bulb went off, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this is real, and I'm fighting LB. And
so then
they get up in the dressing room.
You couldn't back out of it at that point, is what you're saying.
Couldn't back out of it at that point. Yeah, I didn't ask enough questions going into it. I get up to the locker room or where we were dressing, and LB is just like as light as a feather, just like, hey, kid, go have some fun tonight. You know, oh yeah. I'm like, LB, this is a real fight. He goes, yeah, it's going to be great. And I continued to go in there, and he said I hit him with a haymaker. I don't know. Uh-huh. But for the rest of the time, I was just running around the ring while LB was chasing me.
At one point,
I
was there. I actually heard from our mutual friend Scott Zolak yesterday,
right?
Who was also there, mm-hmm. and wanted to talk about LB, and then brought this up. He was there. We were both there ringside,
mm-hmm.
and at one point, Max, I think we actually heard you scream "LB, stop!" when he was punching you in the face.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. That's what I was saying for the rest of the time. I was like, LB, stop. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And I think he broke my nose.
He actually
and then
did.
After the fight, and yeah. And then after the fight, it was like, no big deal.
You know, you legit left there with a broken nose, if I remember correctly.
I legit left there with a broken nose. I think I went to the Irish Times and had a beer because I needed to get away. Uh-huh. And then, you know, but LB was just like, oh, well, that's just life. That's just life right there. And then, you know, it reminds me of the fight. Greg, you remember this. Down in the gazebo in Nantucket between him and PJ Stock.
Yes, I brought that up the other day.
You did? Okay, all right.
Yeah. Interesting story.
Max, we were talking about the fight between you and LB on Monday, and I was saying, but Max is such a big guy. Like, you're so tall, you're so built. Was it more that you didn't know how to protect yourself? Or I never met LB, so I didn't know his sizing compared to yours.
Okay, that's a good question. So what happened was, I think I must have connected with something. You know, we go in. Fortunately, we were only doing 2 1-minute rounds, so we weren't doing what everybody else was doing. So we go in there, and you know, right when the bell goes, and the first punch is thrown, it turns into just haymakers. And I think I must have connected somewhere in that flurry,
right?
Because what I saw from LB,
he saw red.
What I saw from LB was yes, like I just saw his eyes turn. I just saw LB turn into a different person. And I imagine that's what it was like on the ice whenever he got in a fight. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, uh-oh, this doesn't look good. Yeah, but anyway, like, yeah. I just, you know, there's tons of stories. You know, other good times, you know, Daytona 500, yep. Ocean Deck.
Yeah, we went to the
courtyard.
He loved NASCAR. He made us go to Daytona and do the show down there, and we were better for that. He loved that place, the Ocean Deck Bar in Daytona. I'm really glad you called because the stories are the best. Mm-hmm. So
I've seen other people say it, and they're like, LB is like when you're in his group. Man, you knew it. If you were not in his group, you knew it.
That's true.
You know, yeah. and I think I've been on. I think I've been in and out of those both times. You know, and I but anyway.
Yeah.
But
well, Max,
yeah,
thank
gonna
you.
Miss him. Gonna miss him a whole lot.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me call in, Greg.
All right, Max. Thank you.
Yep. All right.
Max, a good
as
dude.
I said the other day, the man lived 1,000 lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every one of them extraordinary. Yeah.
Well, that was Mac's biggest mistake. Once he was in the locker room, wherever they were, and it was like, people are bleeding, this is real. And LB goes, yeah, it's real. He should have been like, all right, you know what? Time out. Well, I got a back problem. I can't do it.
It sounds like he accidentally landed a punch, and that's that's what led to the beating that he took.
Well, breaking your nose, like, doesn't it make you want to scrunch your face? Like,
that's a problem. When you get in the ring, you might accidentally land a punch, so you're probably better off protecting yourself and going, yeah, I think maybe we just go in there and we arm wrestle or something, or we do thumb wrestling for the fans, because if we get the punch in, I'm not about to be
on the... Have you ever done any boxing?
I have,
yeah,
but I wouldn't get in the ring with LB.
I mean, I wear glasses, so I can't.
I mean, I wouldn't get in the ring with LB.
That's what I have you for.
Yeah, no.
All right, we have got to take a break, but we'll be right back.